The Senate Committee on Judiciary and Labor says drug paraphernalia possession and delivery offenses are nonviolent. Its opinion moved a bill to reclassify and decriminalize drug paraphernalia, and if it passes, the measure would keep the offenders or would-be offenders out of the criminal justice system. But according to the latest version of SB 1501, it would carry a more hefty civil fine of $500 instead of $100. Carl Berquist is the executive director of the Drug Policy Forum of Hawaii. He's down at the Capitol today for the bill's third reading, which happened just a little while ago. Carl Berquist is on the line with us now. Hello there.
Aloha, Beth-san. How are you?
Doing all right, thanks. And what happened now with 1501?
Well, it wasn't as dramatic as one might have expected. They actually did not discuss the content of the bill. It was put on the so-called consent calendar along with a host of other bills. And basically that means they didn't discuss it on the floor. They voted 25-0. It passed unanimously. And senators have the option to enter any comments into their journal. So we'll keep an eye on that. But next up, we're headed for conference committee, or the House and the Senate will work out their differences, including that issue you mentioned, the fine.
That $500 fine seems to be really difficult to swallow when it was in a previous incarnation of the bill or version, $100. Why that pronounced difference?
Well, so the initial bill had language of a flat fine of $100. The current bill has language of a fine of no more than $500. So there's going to be discretion allowed for the court to set that fine. But depending on, I think, pressures on them and others, we're still concerned that they might opt for the higher amount in order to secure more resources for the state. But conversely, if you set it too high, then people will not be able to pay it. We already know people have a big problem making bail, and some of these same individuals that we're now trying to help by not putting them in prison for this offense, We're worried they're not going to be able to pay such a hefty fine. So we're hoping to get it down to a smaller amount than is currently in the bill.
What would be an amount that you would think would be reasonable?
I'd like to say I would like to see it back at 100, which is a common fine that is you see in other states for this type of offense or general possession offenses, especially if non, like something that is nonviolent or a drug that is not harmful to the individual or not extremely dangerous to the individual. So $100 would be sort of the baseline that we're aiming for, but we'll see what kind of compromise. But I do like that there is discretion. So I think there should be a no more than language in the bill as it is now.
It seems that this is really being viewed as a marijuana bill, is it?
Absolutely not. It is there are individuals who are advocating for it in that way, but I think a lot of the people that are currently in prison with this as the lead charge, so this is the most serious conviction. We have about 150 individuals currently are in prison with this as the most serious offense, and I doubt if many of those, if even any, have it as a marijuana or cannabis drug that was connected to the paraphernalia. More likely other drugs such as heroin or ice.
But the idea of decriminalizing this from a felony to something that would be subject to a civil fine, it seems to have also a lot of good things in it for not clogging up a system that's already overburdened. Is that very much behind the idea of how this has been moving so, well, relatively well this session?
I absolutely believe so. I think we're seeing a general movement in the state. We've seen it for years, and sometimes it gathers pace, sometimes it slows down. You know, we set up a needle exchange to help people instead of putting them in prison. We legalized medical cannabis in order to help people instead of criminalizing them and putting them in prison. And now we're seeing this. People who tend to have this paraphernalia or are convicted for it are people that most likely need help. They need some kind of treatment. And to instead throw them in prison for many years, whether they're repeat offenders or not, is not going to help those individuals. And it's certainly not going to help the criminal justice system focus on more serious offenses. And we already have such overcrowded jails. And as we know, the ACLU is suing the state for that with obviously unconstitutional confinement conditions. And we're sending people to Arizona and confining them there. So to clog the system with nonviolent offenders who need assistance and treatment is the wrong way to go. And I'm very happy that the state seems to be realizing this.
So then switching gears for a moment and looking at a different bill, SB 174, that seems to be having a lot of difficulty getting agreement from the House and Senate and clearly headed for conference. But looking at what is the definition of a debilitating medical condition to include lupus, epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, and arthritis, there are a lot of people who say, well, you know, those diseases seem to be pretty legitimate if somebody is seriously in pain and needs to have medical marijuana. Why do you think there's so much of an issue with this bill?
Well, I think my understanding is that the issue with those four conditions is kind of a minor one. I think there is an agreement, it seems, between the Senate and the House on those four conditions. There was a fifth condition that was in there recently that was removed, autism. And that was removed for reasons that we're still trying to decipher. We believe that there is enough evidence when it comes to autism that is certainly is almost, if not as compelling as for the other conditions. And in addition to that, there were some more general conditions like stress and anxiety that were part of the bill originally. Those were also removed. But I think the four conditions currently in there and autism, hopefully be able to pass the legislature, and then we'll be able to help more patients with medical cannabis.
And before we say goodbye, at least for this time, as you look generally at where the session is now and what has happened with a lot of the medical marijuana bills, how do you assess this session?
I think in terms of the medical cannabis bills, we're seeing one larger omnibus bill with different provisions. That's HB 1488. That also passed today on the Senate's consent calendar, and that's headed for conference. That includes conditions, that includes the ability for patients and caregivers to test their own medicine, even if they don't buy it at a dispensary. So we're seeing some improvements for patients' rights definitely this session. And we're going to have to see where it goes from there. And I think hopefully next year we can continue to see stronger improvements once the dispensary is open to see what exactly we need to do with the system.
And, of course, we're waiting for those dispensaries to open. Do you think that they're really going to be able to open by late summer or fall?
I sit on the oversight working group that looks at this, and we're meeting tomorrow, and we'll get an update to see what some of the licensees have to say. And, you know, from our understanding is that the seed-to-sale tracking system is in place. People are growing. They may already be making products. So I certainly think so. I think they're ready to go. So hopefully we'll see you this summer, if not the early fall.
All right. Well, on all those hopeful notes, we'll say goodbye for now and talk to you soon.
Aloha, Bethan. Thank you.
Aloha. Carl Berquist is the executive director of the Drug Policy Forum of Hawaii and is currently pursuing a JD at the University of Hawaii's Richardson School of Law's evening program. His work is rooted in the belief that the war on drugs is a failed punitive approach, and he focuses on ending the criminalization of drug users. And as you heard, he's clearly in support of HB 1501, heard and passed along today.